To those who celebrate it, happy Easter Monday. I hope that you had a great weekend with family, friends, or however you chose to spend the weekend and holiday. There's many stories to cover that started unraveling this weekend that are vital and important. We're going to talk about those today. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I am your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. Glad that you chose to be right here on this podcast and join me because we have some important things to cover, not just today, but this week. Make sure you're going to www.americaoutloud.com to see tons of great content from my colleagues and help support them and the sponsors on the website that help make this show and all the shows a possibility to bring the America First message straight to you. Let's get straight into the stories. If you're a Google user, you type in google.com on a web browser, or you use it on your phone, you probably see that every other day they're changing the front page of Google to represent what's happening in the world. So it could be like Helen Keller's birthday, and they would change maybe it to type of Braille instead of having it say Google. If it was Galileo's, maybe they would show something about astronomy. But it's been a tradition that almost every day they make the Google landing page something special. So imagine my shock and awe when a friend of mine sent me a screen recording and said, hey, if you get a chance, go to google.com, go in Safari, your browser, and check to see what comes up when you type in what holiday is today. And so I did so, just expecting that Google was going to have maybe some type of cute, maybe Easter eggs for the O instead of the regular, and I found that Google had nothing. They put up nothing in regards to what the day was, nothing special, despite the fact that there are 2.8 billion, that number is a little bit, could be, I guess, adjusted, Christians in the world. Now, who celebrates the holiday that was yesterday but Christians? It was Easter. Only one of the most, if not the most important Christian observational day. I'm trying to figure out what word I wanted to use there. But Google had no mention. So when you type in what holiday is today, these people out in Google had the guts to not even allow it to come up in a search feature. And it said it was National Chicken Little Awareness Day. Yes, National Chicken Little Awareness Day. It came from the nationaltoday.com page, and it was about featured snippets on Google. And then it asked me what holiday is on October 10th, what holiday is October 3rd, September 26th, what holiday is tomorrow in the United States. So I just wanted to make sure Google knew that it was Easter, so then I typed in what holiday is today, Easter, and it said Sunday, April 9th, 2023. So Google knew that it was Easter on that day, but chose not to give me the search results. Now, why is this troubling to me? It's troubling to me because I've been called somebody that's a bit nutty about the fact that I'm trying to point out to people that there's bias in both the AI systems that are out there right now, as well as there's bias in your search engines. Depending on what search engine you use, will give you a specific set of findings. But for Google to simply not, I guess, observe Christianity whatsoever in Easter, I think that it's a real double standard, because all the other faiths have gotten special pages that I've seen just throughout the past year. When I go on the Google, I see these various things going on. And don't judge me for using Google, right? I'm just letting you guys know I use multiple different types of search engines, Google being one of them, because I like to see what type of information is coming up in all these different spots. But they've changed this page for other religions. Is this discrimination against Christianity? I believe that it is. I believe that if you can't even have your search results come up with a basic, hey, it's Easter, there's something majorly wrong with that, when in all the other spots that you could go, I would find out the proper information. I'd find out the what I'm looking for. This further was compounded when I took my family to church on Sunday, and I have not been a regular attendee of church. So don't judge me once again. But I took my family for Easter because I know that out of all the high holy days, that Christmas and Easter are two of the most important that you could find in the Christian faith. And my parents were going, and my parents do go often, so it was the family thing to do, to take my children, my wife, and meet up with my parents. I was really surprised, because back when I used to work at the church that we went to, the line would be out the door, standing room only if you got there by 9:20. So much so that they opened up a hall just to have a second mass for the overflow, and that would be packed. Well, yesterday, on Sunday, we arrived, and my wife got there before I did, because we drove two separate cars. We had to do some finagling to the in-laws' house yesterday. But while we were doing that, she got about 10 minutes early, told me she was sitting on the right side. I dropped the dog off at my parents' house, went over with my parents. When we got there, it was about 5 minutes before Mass, and I'm thinking, man, it's going to be tough getting in. I see the overflow hall, people going in there. I walk into the church, and there's hardly anybody in there, as far as what you would expect from Easter. Not only is there not many people there, but we go, we sit down, I'm looking around. And I remember growing up as a child and being taught that Easter was that day that everybody needed to get dressed up. Now, before you turn off the podcast, go, he's doing a religious podcast today. No. Follow along with where I'm going with this, because it's all going to tie together. I believe that not only is the anti-Christian agenda working extremely well, and Google not having this pop up as part of their results is speaking to it, but I also believe that there has been a shift in what people put their importance into. I jokingly said, and then later I was very serious about it, that I believe that Anthony Fauci was a high priest and the vaccine was the Eucharist being offered to everybody. And how dare you question the Eucharist, right? You got to get the vaccine or else you're not a good human being. You are not saved. You have no redemption. And I believe that people's health became their new religion and replaced God in people's lives. Going into the church and seeing that there weren't many people there, not that it wasn't, you know, a full house, there just wasn't standing room and there was still plenty of places to sit, and the overflow did not look like it had many people in it either, tells me that the importance that people were putting on Easter in previous generations is dwindling. It's happening less and less. And on top of that, the clothing, seeing people wearing hoodies going to Easter Sunday Mass, again, not judging, simply stating, and that's also a statement, either that financially maybe it's tough times for people, or two, they don't put Mass and church at the top of that list of that respect part. And so are we seeing that in society? Well, I believe that we are. We are becoming a godless society. And that's not to say if you don't have God, you can't be an amazing person, because you can. All right. So let's make that clear. But what I'm trying to say is when we take God out of things, when it becomes a godless society and we can't have that conversation of morality, we can't have the conversation of ethics, well, then that opens our possibilities for having bad things happen and having no recourse in which to discuss them that's meaningful. And I mean that. There's no way to discuss these things. And so I had something happen on Saturday in the state of Delaware that affected me. And I want to tell you that story. There was a shooting at the Christiana Mall. Three people were shot. Five others were injured. The Christiana Mall is about 10 minutes from where I live. And I was there, not during the shooting, but I was there about 3 hours before, shopping for a suit for a wedding that I'm going to be in. And I just wanted to be able to pick one up. And so I was going to different stores. But before I went to the mall, my kids were playing in a soccer game. My wife said, "Oh, what are you doing after this?" I said, "Well, I'm going to go see if I can find a suit." "We'll go with you." I said, "No, I don't want you to." "Well, why not?" I said, "Because I don't want the kids there today. It's a weekend. It's the day before Easter. I just want to get in. I want to get out." And so I went to the mall. Have you tried to buy a suit lately, by the way? Suits have gotten really, really expensive. I went to like a Men's Warehouse first. They were ridiculous. Then I went to Macy's and Penney's, and they at least were discounted. But suits at this point are going to run you about $400. And if they're not on sale, they're going to run you closer to the $800. And if you're a guy like me that isn't skinny cut, wearing a regular type suit, not that I'm big, but if you're somebody that's more broad shoulders like myself, you're going to be wearing the classic fit or the regular cut, and then you don't even get the options. Anyway, I digress. I find a suit that I like. It's at Penny's, but I kind of dragged my feet on because I was like, I don't like it enough. So I went home. After we ate some food, we wanted to go out, and I was thinking about going to get this suit again, and I decided against it. We decided to go down to another shopping center to find clothing for Easter with the kids. And so we avoided the mall. That decision might have saved our lives. See, that night in the food court, around the exact same time we were doing our shopping in this other spot, when my kids were hungry, we would have been at that food court. And that's when the shooting happened. Now, why did the shooting happen? Well, apparently there was an altercation between some teenagers, and teenagers now, just when things aren't going their way, apparently they pull guns and they do bad things. Why? Because we have a godless society. We have a lack of respect for life in the society right now. That's what I'm trying to point out. And it didn't take long for people immediately to jump on the whole, we got to ban guns in this country, we got to take them away. Never mind the fact that we're talking about teenagers that shouldn't have the guns in the first place, that are causing the type of violence, putting everybody's life in danger, hundreds of people, if not a thousand people, in the Christiana Mall food court in Delaware. And number one, hats off to the first responders, police, ambulances, the EMTs, the fire department. It was an amazing response. I've heard nothing. I've talked to several people that were there. One of the workers was in the Lego store. I talked to somebody who was in the Lego store as well that praised the way the workers handled the situation. So the lockdown efforts, getting people to safety, especially taking care of young children during this. Phenomenal job by everyone. The suspect that did the shooting got away. Meanwhile, the three people that were shot were taken off to the hospital. Five people that were injured by a grazing of a bullet, as well as injuries from just people pushing and shoving, trying to get away in a hurry. That is all a travesty. That's all, you know, I'm thinking of the three people that were shot, thinking of the people that were injured, but I'm also thinking of all the young children that were in that food court with parents that now have to go through the trauma of witnessing what they witnessed. And why are they doing that? Well, it goes back to Easter Sunday showing up the mass. Where are people's priorities? You know, if you don't believe in a God and you don't believe in morals and ethics and having a code that should be just kind of the basis for society, what can we agree upon then? What can we agree upon then that is the bare minimum standard for how we are to treat one another? That's an important conversation. And that's a conversation that one side of the politics right now doesn't want to have. I'm not going to mention the gentleman by name because I don't want him to get any extra publicity here in the state of Delaware. But a local representative in the state of Delaware decided to take to Facebook on Sunday and create a political post regarding the shooting at the Christiana Mall. In the political post, it was of a photo of an AR-style rifle in a case. And then these words, I'm going to read it to you all so you can hear what they said. And I'm going to go through my thoughts as well. This representative said, "I was so saddened to learn about what transpired at the Christiana Mall last night. We know from other nations what works when it comes to reducing mass shootings, and we must learn from them. And let's not forget that there are more guns in America than people. That's insane. Numerous factors contribute to gun violence in America, but a huge factor is how easy it is to get guns. I know someone who just got the rifle pictured below. How did he get it? He ordered it online, had it shipped to a local gun store, and picked it up the same day. As he said, it should not be this easy to get a gun. We have to be thoughtful about how we can reduce gun violence. Earlier this morning, someone tagged me in a comment on social media and said that if everyone in the food court last night had a gun, the shooter could have been stopped easily. No, we would have ended up with a shootout, injuring and killing who knows how many innocent people. Not to mention that when law enforcement showed up, they would have no idea who the perpetrator was. It would have been chaos. More guns do not solve gun violence. Thoughtful, proven public policy does." To this state representative that made these comments, here's what I have to say to you and to anybody else that's looking to politicize this type of violence between teenagers that may very well, knowing what I know about my state, be tied to either gang violence that spilled over or tied to violence from a community that they're in, whether that's a high school or whatever, that spilled over. You're an opportunist. You're an opportunist, a person exploiting the circumstance to gain immediate advantage rather than be guided by your consistent principles or plans, also known as these politicians that are making these type of posts. What's ironic about this representative posting this, and this is the thing that I could point out throughout this entire country that really upsets me about our politicians in general. In Delaware, Wilmington is our main city in Newcastle County. We only have three counties in Delaware. It's a small state. But in Wilmington, it's been named the most dangerous and deadliest place to grow up a teenager. And yet I see that with these bankrupt, heartless politicians, that there's this acceptable loss of life because they see what happens in the city of Wilmington as gang violence. It's black kids and black men that are often dying. And so therefore they don't seem to care. But when you shoot or have a shooting at a mall where there are people there that are children and whites, I'm pointing this out because race does matter here. Because if you're a Democrat or a Republican not addressing this, I think you're morally bankrupt. Okay? And I see Democrats doing this all the time here in my state, and I can't stand it. I can't be quiet any longer. There is an acceptable loss of life to these people because they don't humanize the individuals in our cities to care enough that they're dying by the hundreds each year. Philadelphia, just up the road from Wilmington, Delaware, same thing, in the hundreds. Hundreds of people shot every single year in Philadelphia and Delaware. You put those two cities together, it's almost 1,000 people that get shot per year in those two cities. Where are the politicians talking about the illegal guns that are coming into the gangs with no serial numbers? Where are these politicians that are going to the attorney general saying, "I prosecute almost 90% of the cases"? Meanwhile, they throw out almost the entire majority of the gun charges for these teenagers so they can have their equity, or whatever you want to call it, a chance to be able to turn their life around. I'm sorry. You fire a gun, an illegal gun, I don't care what age you are. I don't care what the circumstances are. You should be going to jail for a very, very long time. You kill somebody, you should be in jail for life. No excuses. Instead, these people virtue signal. They wait for something like the Christiana Mall shooting, and they go, "Oh, I know it will scare people. Let's put an AR. An AR had nothing to do with this shooting at the Christiana Mall. This was not a mass shooting. This was teenagers that were fighting, and some punk little loser-ass kid decided to pull a gun and fire shots and shoot other people. That's what happened, not an AR. But this guy that posts this, that's a member of Congress in the state of Delaware, is an opportunist. He doesn't give a crap about his constituents. He doesn't give a crap about actually doing his job and learning about poverty, learning about the cycle that keeps kids in gangs. He doesn't care about learning about how politicians have created this big web. Nope. His first thought is, what a great opportunity to post this photo and talk about how easy it must be able to get an AR, which has nothing to do with the situation. Why is it all of these people, all these spineless cowards, spineless skeletons out there, all these donkeys, the first thing that they want to do immediately is say, well, let's just take all the guns. Why is it that these individuals immediately always blame the guns? The guns are not the problem. Just as when I walked into the church and I see that our society is becoming godless, that is the problem. I don't know what else I have to talk about on the show to get people to open up their hearts, because their egos and ideologies don't allow them to have an intellectual conversation on this. If you want to say, well, I'm an atheist, well, guess what? I can't have a conversation then about what a godless society is. So I have to go to, all right, do you believe that the morals in our society are declining, are degenerating? And then if you tell me, well, morals are really subjective, they're different for everybody, well, then you're a complete ass. I can't have another conversation with you. Because at that point in time, we can't talk about morals. All you want to talk about is an object, not why the object's being used for these purposes. See, I have a problem with opportunists right now. I have a problem with people that are creating the degenerates in the world, the left in many cases, not calling people what they are, crazy, not calling them mentally ill. Instead saying, well, we really got to work with this person. We got to rehabilitate this person. No, there are mentally ill people that will do harm to other people. There are mentally ill people that are pedophiles, that people are normalizing pedophilia in this country right now. The whole country right now has a major problem. The world is looking at us and they are laughing at us at the fact that we're more concerned about identity politics than fixing the hearts of our entire country and making us more peaceful people. They're keeping us at odds. I do not consent to this at all. Want to know why I decide every single day to make sure that I uphold the Second Amendment? Is because had I been at that mall, no, I don't think that what this politician said is correct. I don't think that more people having guns necessarily would have immediately stopped the threat, but I also know it's a fear tactic what they're saying. Because as somebody who has been trained in firearms, I understand that you cannot take a shot unless you know that you're only hitting the target that you intend. And in a mall setting, it would be very difficult for me to have that on my conscience. So the first thing that you do is you try to remove yourself from the situation, which it seems like if only three people out of a crowded place of hundreds were able to do so, it seems like that was an option. So that's what most people with a gun would do. They would remove themselves from the situation. But damn it, if I was just feet away from that as it happened, and I was at that mall on Saturday, you best believe I'd be drawing, looking for my shot and making sure I took it to stop the threat from other people. That's what well-trained people do. You don't need to be a police officer in order to be a well-trained person in order to do so. That is why people go through CCDW training. That's the reason why they go to a firing range so much. That's the reason why I don't leave home without my gun. I do not want to ever be a victim. I take the responsibility upon myself in order to protect myself, my family, and property, as well as if there was ever a situation to protect others. That does not mean that we're vigilantes. That does not mean that we're sitting there waiting for that moment. God, I hope I never have to use it. I hope it never has to come out of my holster when I'm in public, ever. No one is thinking that. You know why? Because there's such thing as responsible gun owners. There's responsible gun owners that have morals. There's people that believe in God that carry. There are people that know when that situation arises, it will be the darkest day of their lives should they have to go to it. But these criminals, they don't subscribe to this. And the left right now is just happy continuing making people ill. And I mean that, and I hope that you hear it, and I hope it upsets you. Because if you look around at what's important to the left right now, it's not about making people better. It's about keeping people where they're at and telling, you're okay for being that way. You're okay. And guess what? I hate to tell you this. You're not okay. In some respects, some of you are sick, sick individuals, and you need help. And we should be trying to find you help. It's more loving for me to say to somebody, I care about you, I love you, and you need help, than me to say, oh yeah, it's okay that you feel this way. And then one day you harm somebody else or you harm yourself, you know, because I just let it go and say, well, everybody does that. No, not happening. So that's the first part of today's show. When I come back, the second part of today's show is something that has me extremely worried. It's what's going on with BRICS. I talked about it last week, but there's been a new development right now. And between what's going on in China, Taiwan, and something Donald Trump tweeted out, World War III may be here a lot sooner than I ever would have imagined. And I'm concerned, and we need to talk about that coming right up when we get back. Make sure you're going to www.americaoutloud.com, visiting our sponsors to help keep the lights on to this show as well as to the network. Appreciate it. We'll be right back. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
The Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. The liberty and justice for all.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX Nasal Solution Cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
Welcome back, Bold American. Second half of the show, we covered the Christiana Mall shooting and my reaction to a godless America. And then I started talking about what French President Macron said over the weekend and what China and Taiwan did, as well as Donald Trump. Let's bring it all together right away. So if you're following the world stories, last week, I'm not sure if you caught my episode, you might want to go back and catch up on it, but I spoke about BRICS. BRICS is an alliance of basically Russia, Asia, South Africa, South America, and now possibly Europe. And there's also some spots just above, like the Mideast, Turkey, Iran. They're all kind of BRICS aligned. Well, Vladimir Putin and President Xi from China, Russia and China seem to have made an agreement that they were going to work together to help create the yuan as the new currency of the world and move away from the dollar. Well, President Xi this weekend, or at the end of the week, I guess I should say, that just passed, met with the French President Macron and said that Europe must reduce its dependency on the United States, and said it wants to look to establish autonomy from the United States and to become a third superpower. And so this is a Politico story that I got some of this information as far as the quotes, but I'm also going to kind of tag into a bunch of other sources here as we go. So there was a 3-day visit to China, and a French journalist spoke with Politico. They said they spent around 6 hours with President Xi. And Macron said that there was a strategic autonomy for Europe to basically move away from aligning with the United States. They said that the great risk that Europe faces is that it will get caught up in crises that are not ours, which prevents it from building its strategic autonomy. Now, I'm not sure if you guys remember, but there's been this little war going on between Russia and Ukraine, and NATO wanted us to make sure that we were involved so it didn't become Europe's problem. You know what, France? Maybe we should just pull all of our troops, or not troops, all of our finances out of the Ukraine and let you figure it out on your own. You know what, NATO? If Macron is speaking for Europeans, then, yeah, I think that that's a major problem. And guess what also happened in this meeting? They start talking about Taiwan. And so Macron said in the interview, that he said, I'm quoting him, "The paradox would be that overcome with panic, we believe we are just America's followers. The question Europeans need to answer, is it in our interest to accelerate a crisis on Taiwan? No. The worst thing would be to think that we Europeans must become followers on this topic and take our cue from the U.S. agenda and a Chinese overreaction." It's not lost on me that right after this meeting, China did war games just off the coast of Taiwan, and they surrounded the island in an encirclement. And they did this with their aircraft carriers. I believe they had 11 aircraft carriers. I read something about they had like 30 fighter jets out there in the Taiwan Strait. So the Taiwan talks have really heated up. The United States has already made it very clear, if China attacks Taiwan, that we would go on the offensive back. Trump, former President Donald Trump, his Truth Social feed, he just posted on Sunday during Easter, World War III. No context, that was it. Just World War III. Now, he posted this, I believe, because what is going on in Taiwan and China? I think he sees the fact that they're circulating more and more. Looks like the war is going to possibly heat up. Now, China simulated on Sunday, Easter Sunday, hitting targets in Taiwan. They've also started talking about, you know, what type of war would this be? Now, while they were doing this, there was 70 Chinese aircraft in total. 11 Chinese ships, as I stated, were spotted. And Taiwan said they noticed 45 warplanes that crossed over the Taiwan Strait, the median line, which is known as the unofficial line that separates the Taiwanese and Chinese territories. And they also said they flew over part of the southwestern part of Taiwan's air defense identification zone, which is dubbed a Joint Sword by Beijing. And this is supposed to continue through Monday. I'm just paying attention here. We got Russia and China meeting. working out some type of deal. President Xi gives Vladimir Putin some type of gold necklace that he wears. Then we get word that some more nations are possibly joining BRICS. And now we got the French president. And the United States has been very good to France. Got the French president saying, you know what? We can't let the United States dictate what we're doing and how we're doing it. You know what? Macron, you should take a poll of Europe. If that's the case, you're done. You're done. No more help from America. I'm okay with that. I don't think we should have been helping out as much as we were to begin with. But what Macron was talking about, and what I'm hearing other people talk about right now, Macron had said that Europe had a dependency. They were dependent on the United States for weapons and energy. And that was to boost their defense industries. But they said that they should reduce their dependence on the United States dollar, which is the key to Moscow and Beijing. We just heard them talk about that. He says, if the tensions between the two superpowers heat up, we won't have the time nor the resources to finance our strategic autonomy, and we will become vassals. Now, Russia has been hit with sanctions. China has been hit with sanctions. Iran's been hit with sanctions. And all of these countries now are weaponizing against the dollar. I believe Macron is going to weaponize against the dollar, too, if the people don't stand up. And here in the United States, when are we going to wake up? When are citizens of the United States going to hear podcasts like mine and go, wait a minute, I'm not being told the entire story. I don't see this on CNN. I don't see this on Fox News. I just saw that Donald Trump said World War III. But I didn't know that now we have Asia, Russia, South Africa, parts of the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Iran, we have Turkey, and now we have parts of Europe and all of South America, basically, at this point, that are now turning against the United States. Is United States' time as a superpower being cut short? Does it look like it's coming to an end? Well, there's a gentleman that I wanted to interview a while ago. His name is Clandestine. Now, I don't know what his real name is. I'm just going by the Twitter name. He had done some work about the Ukraine and biolabs. And he claims, and has a thread on it, that if you feel that it was about anything else, it's about biolabs. Because according to the United States National Institute of Health, there are 1,251 biolabs in Taiwan. Now, this is an island that he says is the size of Maryland. I did not confirm that, but it sounds about right looking at it on a map. So 1,251 biolabs, 262 of which are private. And the United States is involved. Is that part of the reason why we are seeing involvement with China coming back to Taiwan as well? They also have a huge amount of resources in Taiwan too. I mean, that's certainly important. But I believe what we're looking at right now, Putin and President Xi, they are working the world to see who they can get on their side. And Biden is asleep at the wheel. What is Biden doing right now to assure that the dollar will be stable, that the dollar will be the reserve currency for the world? What is he doing to position? What is the Federal Reserve doing with all of this? Well, our treasury yields are weakened. Our interest rates are raised. And this means the countries like China that are able to cash in, China could default and completely destroy us right now. They could completely destroy our purchasing power throughout the entire world. And if they have an agreement in place right now with all of these other countries, it would not hurt them. See, the idea is, how do you get to stop United States sanctions from hurting the country? That's what they're trying to figure out. Because if they can figure out how to get these sanctions to stop hurting their country, then they have freedom to move forward and have different alliances that have not been seen in any of our lifetimes. This is why what's going on in Russia and Ukraine is really important. This is why the United States was hoping to say, well, gee, if we put some money here, we'll have Europe. Because BRICS did not just start yesterday. BRICS has been around for many, many years. If you start researching BRICS, you can find stories of 2014 where they had already talked about what they were trying to do. You can go back to 2014 where, here it is. Reuters had the story, BRICS sets up bank to counter Western hold on global finances. 9 years ago, leaders of BRICS emerging market nations launched a $100 billion development bank and currency reserve pool on Tuesday in their first concrete step toward reshaping the Western-dominated international financial system. They also set up a $100 billion currency reserves pool to help countries forestall short-term liquidity pressures. This bank was an achievement of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They got together in 2009. That's when this whole thing started. By 2014, 5 years later, they already were putting together the stepstones for what we're seeing here in 2023. Will World War III happen? I don't know. I think it's pretty likely at this point in time. I don't see how the United States gets out of this situation outside of the solution that I would offer. It's a solution of non-interventionalism. It's a solution that says we are not the world's policemen. We are not going to go and dictate democracy and freedom to other countries. It's a solution that ends the military-industrial complex and the privatization of military for-profit systems and strengthens our borders here at home. And it says, you are not welcome to come in here anymore. And it says, we get our act together immediately and strengthen what we can strengthen immediately. See, there is a new world order. It's not a new world order the way many people were predicting with the WEF. Or if it was with the WEF, I believe the WEF is failing miserably, which also makes me wonder, who are the good guys? Are there good guys in any of this? Who are the bad guys? Are there bad guys in any of this? I think that's a valid question, right? When you look at BRICS, are they all bad? Or America, are we expecting something based upon what we've been educated about, our country? Do we understand things a little bit different than the rest of the country sees us? I think that that sounds pretty possible. I think that we definitely are seeing things maybe with some glasses on that aren't allowing us to see the full vision. It seems like right now, China is definitely going to move into Taiwan. Xi is not happy whatsoever with the United States controlling Taiwan, working with Taiwan. They weren't happy when Nancy Pelosi was going to go there. They weren't happy when just a few weeks ago we were going back there. They are not happy whatsoever in seeing that we are involved in the Ukraine with Russia and now Taiwan. And so this is the perfect storm for a world war. Now, for the individuals that are like, well, Joe Biden, he's a puppet of China. Well, I got to ask a question right now. What will Joe Biden do if Taiwan is invaded sometime today during this podcast or tomorrow? If those exercises just turn into an all-out attack, will Joe Biden order us to take out the warships of China, sending us into a world war? Or will Joe Biden just roll over and go, take it? We've made some alliances. We've made some commitments. I told you, my strategy is non-interventionalism. If I'm president tomorrow, I'm getting on a microphone and I'm telling the entire world, United States for many years has tried to help provide prosperity and freedom and to right the wrongs and injustices that we saw If there were genocides, we saw it as a responsibility to make sure that didn't happen. If there were dictators and leaders that were harming their people, we tried to make sure that that didn't happen and use our powers for good. But it's become clear to the United States, this is my speech still, it's become clear to the United States that there are those amongst us that wish to upend freedom and democracy. As a result, we will be withdrawing from NATO immediately. We'll honor the last of our commitments that we have, but do not ask us to do anything additional. And we will be cutting off support to all of our allies starting now. We will not have any acts of aggression. The world, you're on for yourself, but leave America alone. Any attacks on America will be met with equal and worse force to stop the attack. That's the message that I'd be giving. Whatever happens in the world, and then after that, you got to start talking to all your industries here. You got to end this whole Build Back Better bullcrap. You got to end the whole Green New Deal type of stuff. And we got to get serious about industry in the United States, mining here in the United States, getting the resources that we need here, because we're going to be on our own. But I got bad news for everybody. We're going to be on our own if we do anything, no matter what. The table's been set. The United States is literally on an island. Sure, we have a border of Canada and South America right now, but we're really on an island where the odds are not forever in our favor at this point in time. I'm concerned. I'm concerned because no one seems to be talking about this. You go to like all the major news networks, no one's talked about BRICS the way that I'm talking about BRICS. You go and try to research what happened with Macron. Yeah, you can find the Politico story, but no one's connecting the dots back to what's going on between the meeting with Vladimir Putin and President Xi. No one's looking at Taiwan. You got to go to like podcast people. You got to go to the alternative media in order to get this type of information right now. That's what's concerning me. That's why I believe we're in really dangerous times right now. Couple that with the fact that on a Minecraft server on Friday of last week, there are a whole treasure trove of documents that somebody put in a Minecraft map that people could download and read, the Pentagon Papers. And it is basically an intelligence leak that shows that we're spying on our adversaries and we're spying on our allies. Now, how these showed up on a Minecraft server, a children's game, no idea, except that I'm probably guessing people are like, they'll never expect it there. That's a great way to get it. But the documents are marked as highly classified. They have tactical information about the war in Ukraine. And guess what? It shows that our government's been lying to us about the war in Ukraine, about the number of people that have been dying on both sides. It shows that there has been an intentional effort to only tell the American public what they felt would be helpful. So a censoring of information has been going on. There are many things popping up now on a Discord, which is a chat platform that I'm familiar with. Maybe some of my listening audience may not be. And that's battlefield assessments. This was from senior Pentagon leaders. Now, these are all sitting on a public server now. That since, I guess, Thursday night when the New York Times first reported on this, now people are starting to find the information. And so the Pentagon has been trying to restrict the flow, but it's just popping up now on new places. Many of these documents were labeled no foreign, which means they cannot be released to foreign nationals. But the Five Eyes alliance between the United States, Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, guess what? That's all out there now. So the internal, external communications, that's right. Every corner of the globe now has access to these documents that we're not supposed to be able to see. Most of them concerned the Ukraine, and the assessment about the conflict. It also talks about how the Biden administration was figuring out what weapons to provide to the Ukraine and Russia's battlefield strategy. They were looking through it. It talked about the forecast for the grinding campaign of attrition through the entire region in 2023. This is a major, major security leak. And having this in the hands of all these other governments, well, people have blowback against the United States saying, look, are we manipulating things here? Are we manipulating the world and NATO into doing things? I think that we should pay attention to this leak. Now, it also did shine some light on Russia's military struggles, right? The strength of their war machine and what Putin's putting out there. There have been real-time warnings about the strikes and even specific targets. And so the information seems to be helping them figure out how to defend themselves because the United States has been able to infiltrate and get that info. If I'm Putin, I see that. I got to wonder who is around and did we just put lives in danger by allowing this to be leaked, by making this mistake? So this is a massive intelligence breach. Meanwhile, you got Merrick Garland ready to still try to extradite Julian Assange. Meanwhile, the guy, from all journalism perspectives, should be released. The charges dropped. He was an actual whistleblower. Meanwhile, our own government is doing this to other governments, and no one will go to jail for that because all's fair in love and war, right? That doesn't really matter, I guess, at that point in time. We just move on, nothing to see here. Do as I say, not as I do. That's all. So are you concerned? Are you concerned about World War III? Are you concerned about the fact that Donald Trump put that post out on his Truth Social? Are you concerned about the fact that BRICS seems to be creating a new world order very quickly? Are you concerned that if we get any type of action on Taiwan, the United States likely will have to respond, and that could lead to a global crisis, global conflict? Are you concerned about the value of the dollar to begin with? Are you concerned about the $31 trillion worth of debt and growing each day? You should be concerned about all these things. But the biggest question I'm going to ask you is this. When are you going to prepare? When are you going to say, what measures should I be taking to make sure that I'm good? That's the main question. How are we going to take care of one another? And at what point in time will American citizens say enough is enough and finally stand up to the government and say, we do not support these endless wars. We do not support things that are making us unsafe. We do not support a Federal Reserve that's been manipulating currency, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And as a result, we need to shore things up and make good with the rest of the world. I don't know what the answer to all that is, but I do know this. Banking, it's not safe right now. It's not safe because we have not hit the actual drop of where things are going. It's not that it's not safe to put your money in. No, I mean, it's the same as any day. One day, it's not going to be safe. That day's not here yet, but what I'm getting at is the shoe will drop soon. Pay attention. And I think about my own children. You know, if there is a war, will there be a draft in the future? Will my children be drafted? Will they be looking at the prospects of a long war? Final thought today. During church on Easter Sunday, I look down and I see my dad's hands. He's got his hands on the pew. He's standing next to me and I'm studying them. And I look at my hands. And I think about all the things that my hands didn't have to do that his did. My hands never had to go to war. My father's did in Vietnam. My hands never had to pick up dead bodies of American soldiers. My father's did. My hands never had to travel the world in order to get to a location where one day I'm at home and the next day I'm traveling to a war zone and learning how to use weapons. My father's did. And then I think about his eyes. What did my father see in his life? What has he survived? You know, at his age of 77 years of age, almost 78, what are the things that he's experienced? And I realize how fortunate I am as we look at this global conflict that seems to be brewing, that in my lifetime, outside of September 11th and the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, the first Desert Storm, outside of those type of things, we have not had global conflicts of which I had to be fearful that my number could be called at any time. And so I respect my parents' generation so much for what they had to do and for all who serve. I hope that we don't put you in a position we do not need to be in. But I thank you for your service and will support however I possibly can. Hope I honored your time well here today. I know it was a long episode, but I had a lot that I had to get out today. Try to keep them a little bit shorter the rest of the week to respect your time. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.